Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Truth in God's Word Radio, coming to you from North Central West Virginia. Stay tuned while we expound on God's Word. Jesus said, "Continue in my Word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's your host, Pastor Jim Newsom.
Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Jim Newsom, and this is Truth in God's Word Radio. It's January 1st, 2016, New Year's Day. Happy New Year's to each and every one of you. It's 8 a.m. on the East Coast of the United States, and I am coming to you from Central West Virginia. We're going to continue on today in our study in the book of Hebrews, the Great Hall of Faith. Today we're going to talk about Enoch, the faith of Enoch. Very interesting man. One of only two men, according to the Bible, that never saw death. Enoch and also Elijah the prophet. So, we're going to read the two main scriptures. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who seek him with diligence, with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, and with all their spirit." A lot of times faith in God comes from coming to the end of ourselves. When we lay aside faith we've had in everything else, everything we fabricated in our own minds, everything that we put our trust in the world, make no mistake about it, nothing will stand except the truth and the power of an almighty God. Everything else will fall down around us. So we need to please God, and the way that we please God is by faith. So Hebrews 11:5 states, "By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." You see, the comparison here, he had faith, he had the substance. And he also had what was stated in verse 6, he pleased God by that faith. Now in the Bible, there are two Cains. There was two Enochs. There was a Enoch that was born into Cain, which was the rebellious son of Adam and Eve, the one that we spoke about last broadcast of offering the wrong sacrifice, coming with the works of his hands. In Genesis 4:17, Word of God declares, "And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. He built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch." This is men building their own reputation. The Bible declares that Jesus sought himself of no reputation. All of the works he did, we find in the Word of God, he states, "Go and tell no one. Go and tell no one." He stated several times that I come that I might be the image of my Father, that I am led by the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that me and you are led by, the Paraclete, the one that comes alongside to help us, to lead us, to guide us into all truth and all righteousness. So Enoch believed God. The Word of God declares, as I read to you, that he pleased God. The Word of God declares in the book of Genesis 5:21-23, "And Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah," which Methuselah's name meant deluge, which he was the sign that when he died, the flood would come. You hear the term, they're going to outlive Methuselah, or they're older than Methuselah. Well, he lived to be 900 years old. The Bible declares that he was possibly the oldest man ever. This points to the mercy of God. He named him Deluge, but yet he expanded his lifetime to fulfill the prophecy, but yet in that is mercy because of the longevity of his mercy. The Bible declares that his mercies are renewed every day. every day when we get up, the mercies of God and His grace are renewed in our lives. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. The Bible declares he walked with God in his daily life. He was not a weekend warrior, so to speak. He was not a Sunday Christian. He practiced his faith. What he believed in is what he stood on. It just wasn't a declaration in front of his peers, so to speak. It was his lifestyle. It was a lifestyle of faith. He believed God beyond all circumstances and all situations. He had, the Word of God declares, he had continuous fellowship with God. Continuous. Paul told Timothy, I believe he said, pray without ceasing. I read of the great man of God of the last century, Smith Wigglesworth, who Brother Summerall declared that he'd come to his house and he wouldn't even allow a newspaper in his house. He would read the Bible for a half hour. They'd pray for a half an hour. Then maybe they'd have a spot of tea, as the English do. And this was his lifestyle. He was in constant fellowship with God. You say, well, preacher, I don't think that can happen today. Well, the Bible says to press towards the high mark of the high calling. I'm a firm believer that we can have as much as God as we want, but the key to having as much as God as we want is us dying out. Apostle Paul said, it's not me that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. He says, I preach nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The song says, I can't even walk without Him holding my hands. He lived a life of prayer. You know, there's a book outside the canon. There's the Book of Enoch. There's the Secrets of Enoch, and of course they're not in the canon. They're not declared to be inspired scripture. But Enoch is mentioned in the Word of God three times, basically. Of course, in Genesis, in the Book of Jude, and also in the Book of Hebrews. The only thing that can sever our relationship with God is sin. This is where the separation is. That's why God had to send His only begotten Son, which is Jesus Christ, that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. The only sacrifice for sin was the sacrifice that Jesus accomplished on the cross, the finished work of Jesus Christ, the shedding of His blood, which remits our sin, which eradicates our sins. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, not covers, but takes away, eradicates, annihilates, remission of sin. In other words, they are no more. And through the process of sanctification and faith, the guilt and the shame of these sins can be removed if we put our faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His finished work. I would say Enoch did not involve himself with worldly matters. Jesus spoke in a parable and said, don't let the cares of this life choke out. When he was talking about the parable of the sower and the reaper and what kind of fruit people would reap. He said, take heed that the cares of this life do not choke out the word of God that wants to take root in your heart and in your life. In other words, we are to keep the ground of our heart fallowed, ready to be planted on good soil. And he said, the cares of this life will choke the word of God out. He also, Paul stated, he said, don't be consumed by the affairs of this life, the cares of this life. He said, these will be a stumbling block to ministry, to being a testimony that God wants us to be. We live in a world where people are consumed by the cares of this life, where people are consumed by materialistic goals, where money, the love of money, which the Bible states is the root of all evil. The Bible declares in the book of Daniel, they will run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. We live in the information age. We live in an age of technology that's really unbelievable. We take it for granted, but over the past 10 years, we have grown in technology. And the only way we can live a holy life is through Jesus Christ. The Word of God declares in Colossians 3:2, he says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, this was the lifestyle of Enoch. He wasn't concerned about anything else except God. He had a family. He had sons. He had daughters. That's what the Word of God says. We read by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. It's the scriptures I've already read. The Word of God declares that Enoch's faith had pleased God. He was God-centered. He was God-centered. His mind and his heart was set on an almighty God. He was in obedience. Obedience, the Word of God declares, is better than sacrifice, to obey God. And, you know, so many people, you know, they paint this portrait of God Almighty as a mean, angry a man that wants to throw lightning bolts at us every time we mess up. But the Bible declares that God so loved the world. He said, I would that none would perish. And to be obedient to his laws and his statutes, which we can't keep, we must draw on the power of the Holy Spirit and the finished work of Jesus Christ. The Bible declares that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we cannot save ourselves. But God loves us enough. He said, I would that none would perish. That it is for our own good to keep his laws, because God's laws are set in granite. The Word of God declares that the Word of God, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word, his spoken word, which is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, will never, ever pass away. So this is the Word of God. And he took time out of his life to draw near to God. You know, I think of the great prophet Daniel, who was in a foreign land, and they even made a decree, because of jealousy, that the king had to keep a law that he had made, because in those days kings weren't above the law. So he had to keep his law, and they said if any man prays to any other god, then, you know, they're going to be put to death. And the Word of God declares that Daniel started opening his doors three times a day and sought the God that he knew, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, Jehovah Jireh, our provision, our provider. So he took time out of his daily life to devote time. This is what devotions mean, to devote time to getting close to God, a relationship. You know, so many times, you know, we, in today's modern society, people have relationships with religion, with churches, with preachers, with their peers, with their fellow believers, but, you know, sometimes we lack in relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is where our discernment is thrown off, because the Word of God says that my sheep know my voice. So, you know, we need, the Bible says, Jesus said in the book of Revelation, let him that has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. In other words, all people have ears, basically. Of course, there are people who can't hear, I understand that, but for the most part, you know, people have ears, but are they listening? Are they listening to what the Spirit has to say? Boy, you know, we are flooded every day. We live in the age of media. I mean, we've got the TVs. We've got those little handheld computers called smartphones. We've got tablets. We've got iPads. We've got Kindles. We've got all of these things today that stream into our lives. That's a technical term used today, that stream into our lives, something every day into our ears, into our minds, into our hearts, into our spirits. And, you know, streams can become polluted. I live in West Virginia. Back in the days of coal mining, which, of course, we're still doing that in this state, not so much anymore. But the creeks were filled with sulfur. And they passed laws. They had to clean these streams up because they was polluting. Something that runs with wickedness pollutes everything it runs into. So it's important that we only allow things to stream into our mind and into our heart for the edification of ourselves through the Spirit and the power of God. The Word of God will edify us, will strengthen us. When we lift up Jesus Christ, that all men might be drawn unto Him. So it's important what we hear. You know, we talk about the spiritual gates, the eye gate, the ear gate, the mouth gate. Those three tie in. Amen. The mouth gate, especially. The Bible says the tongue above all things is the most wicked member of the body. But it's important what we hear, what we allow to be streamed into our lives. The old saying is junk in, junk out. The Bible declares if you keep your mind or you meditate upon the law of God, the Word of God declares, I didn't declare, the Word of God declares, He shall keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon Him. See, we live in a day when people are multitasking. Growing up, my grandmother would get upset at me because I would like to sit in front of the television and do my homework, and that didn't work out very well because I was divided. The Bible says a house divided will not stand. So he drew near to God, and God rewarded Enoch. He rewarded him. The Bible declares he was translated, a type of the rapture. Only Enoch and Elijah, like I said before, the Word of God declares in 2 Kings 2:11, talking about the prophet Elijah. Elijah and Elias was walking along together, and it came to pass as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and the horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind. There are many of those that conjecture that Enoch and Elijah will be the two great witnesses in the book of Revelation. I'm not arguing to fight over that, but could be. Some say Moses. I don't know. But I know whatever it is, it's in God's plan, and whatsoever God's plan is, it works for my good. Glory to God, it works for my good. So that's faith today. That's believing in the midst of chaos, God's got this in control. Amen. He's got this. The Bible declares in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is what Enoch did. He and many men of the Bible were Paul, the great apostle Paul, called himself a bondservant, completely submitted unto the things of God. The Bible declared, I believe, in the book of James, submit yourself unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And we use that word submit, but that's not always easy. Submission is not always easy. The song says, perfect submission, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Enoch was a preacher. Enoch was a seventh from Adam. He prophesied, which was recorded in Jude, verses 14 and 15, only one chapter in Jude. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds. Now, this is the type of literature that comes out of the book of Enoch, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. This is Enoch preaching about God someday taking complete control of this earth and the saints of God ruling and reigning with him. Enoch was not afraid to tell those around and about him what God had revealed unto him. He was a true prophet. He was a preacher. He preached about the flood of judgment that would soon come upon the earth. Remember, his son was named Methuselah, and his name meant deluge or flood. See, God, the word of God declares he won't do nothing unless he tells these prophets first. I believe in the book of Amos it says that. He'll do nothing without telling his prophets first. He preached about the flood of judgment that would soon come upon the earth. And the flood, there was a reason for the flood. Everything points to Jesus Christ. And from the beginning, Satan has done everything he can to derail the plan of salvation and the plan of grace. But he hasn't got it done, and he won't get it done. The gates of hell will not prevail against his church, Jesus said. So there was a reason for the flood. We're going to study the next time about Noah. The Word of God declares that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So he's talking about also the last days of world history also, beyond the flood. He was a believer, and I believe this, that many prophets, if not all of them, will reveal Jesus Christ. I believe Abraham was revealed Christ. This is what this book even talks about. This chapter talks about how they were revealed, and their faith in the future Messiah kept them. Jesus said Abraham would love to see this day. Simeon, the Word of God says, when Jesus was born, he said, "Now I can die because I've held salvation in my arms." Think about this today. Glory to God. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about him crucified. Amen. We're coming into a new year. Paul said, leaving those things that are behind. Glory to God. Count it all but lost. All but dung, the Word of God says. He spoke against an ungodly society. He spoke against false religion. He denounced their rebellion against God. And there was factions in that day. And there was things going on in that day. It was unbelievable. There was a great deception. Just the same as going on today. And I can't get into all that. But the same deceptive spirit is operating in the modern times. He reprimanded so-called believers. He come against their lukewarmness, their half-hearted service of God. Like I said, he named his son Methuselah. And I believe God named him Deluge. Enoch taught the Word of God. He went on to teach the truth to his family. And the Word of God declares, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So the Word of God declares that Enoch walked, and he was not. Enoch walked, and he was not. He was translated. He was translated. One of the writings in the book of Enoch, or the secrets of Enoch, speaks of him sitting in his house, and the angels coming to him and said, "Today you're going to be with God." He just left, type of the rapture. Never died. He pleased God. Amen. He pleased God. This is the faith, because of his faith that he had in God, he was pleasing to God. We can't please God without faith and our trust in him. Amen. If you don't know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, accept him today. Put your faith in something other than the things around and about you. Put your faith in something other than circumstances. Put your faith that no matter where you're at, that God can bring you out in the name of Jesus. No man comes into the Father except to be through the Son, and that Son is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you need healing in your body today, call on his name. By his stripes you are healed. He's still healing. He's still saving. He's still delivering. He's still a miracle-working God. When all other things are exhausted, and that's what happens in our lives, we come to the end of ourselves, then we need to look up, and God will help us in the time of need. The Bible declares he's a present help in the time of trouble. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you today, Lord, that you said it will not fall on deaf ears, but it will accomplish that which you sent it to do. It will not come back to you void. We have faith, and we believe that today in the name of Jesus, Father. I pray for each and every one that hears this. And I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you give them a good new year. Lord, let the heaviness off their minds, off their spirits. Let the blinders off our eyes today, Lord. Let us see clearer in this year than we've ever saw. Let discernment rule and reign in our lives. Let faith rule and reign in our lives. And order our footsteps as you said you would do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Till next time, may God bless each and every one of you.
This has been Truth in God's Word Radio with Pastor Jim Newsom. Our email address is truthinthword777@gmail.com. Word of God declares, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming very soon. Until next time, may God bless each and every one of you.
And the meek shall inherit.